avail yourself of that. Also, if you want to practice meditation at home besides the guided meditations on that site, there's a wonderful site, bswa.org, Buddhist Society of Western Australia, which is the site of Ajahn Brahm and a bunch of wonderful Buddhist nuns like Ajahn Vayama. And on that, there's a section under downloads called Friday Evening Meditation, and there's something like 70 guided meditations, all around a half an hour. And they're all wonderfully done. So if you want to practice at home, that is the easiest way to, when you're not here with a group of other practitioners, if you want to develop that daily practice, the easiest way to do it is go to bswa.org, click on downloads, and then go to Friday Night Meditation. If you didn't get that, you can come up to me after the class and I'll tell you it again. It's really good when you're struggling to develop a meditation practice to not simply try to do it alone, but to actually do it to the guidance of a monk who's been practicing for many years. It just not only gives your meditation a structure, but it also, for some reason, it just makes the mind easier to calm down when you're listening to a guided instruction. So I highly recommend that. So tonight I thought I'd talk about one of my, certainly it's one of the most requested topics that people want to hear about, forgiveness, the strategies and the hows of forgiveness, why we forgive and how we forgive. I'm not going to speak too long on why harboring resentment and anger are a bad idea. Just to go over it quickly, there are lots of very good clinical studies that show that harboring resentment and anger is not only, in terms of your sanity, one of the worst things you can do, because it simply keeps a story repeating over and over in your mind that creates a victim mentality, which often drives us to despair. But it's also extremely unhealthy. There's lots of studies of the effects that both positive and negative emotions have on the body. And they've shown, there's especially a fascinating Harvard study that tracked people for over 40 years and discovered a 20% difference in life expectancy for people who knew how to forgive and were optimistic as opposed to those who were pessimistic and resentful and focused on negative, stressful emotions. Now, in addition to this, the Buddha spent a lot of his suttas going over in detail how pernicious he thought these internal stories of how we've been harmed, how we've been mistreated, how we've been hurt, how these stories that we repeat, how much damage they do to us. And in the very beginning of his most famous collection of suttas, the Dhammapada, right after he introduces his view of the mind, the first thing he goes into is he says, thinking the thoughts, this person injured me, this person hurt me, this person mistreated me, causes suffering, causes stress. And by thinking that, these thoughts over and over, no good comes of it. And it's only by developing the antithesis, compassion, generosity, forgiveness, that we move or begin to develop the foundations of the spiritual path. Now, given how, in terms of the health ramifications, the the mental stability ramifications of resentment and anger, how unskillful these emotions are, you might wonder, why is it we do it? Why is it that the human mind has such a firm tendency to grab onto, to latch onto stories of how we've been mistreated? And the answer is quite simple. The human mind is set up evolutionarily, was, through genetics and evolution, the human mind is set up not to be happy, but to survive. And as I think most people would understand, it seems to be, certainly it was in our evolutionary advantage thousands of years ago to keep track of immediately anybody who we thought didn't like us, who might have even the slightest grudge, who might have even the slightest thing against us, and to keep track of those who we thought were safe, people who we thought we could rely on, because the world was a much, much more dangerous place. And, of course, you could be killed if you turned your back on the wrong person. So we don't live in Houston anymore. We're seeing if you're awake. It's a joke. We don't live in 40,000 B.C. anymore. There's not this need to memorize every sideways glance or little inconvenience that we encounter and turn it into a whole story of how horrible everybody is at work, or the people we encounter in the subway, or the corner store, or whatever. The mind thinks every little event that we don't like is a threat to our survival. The brain hasn't really changed, and it views everything as a dire threat. So, very much what we're doing when we learn how to forgive and practice generosity is to basically go against the brain's innate, evolutionarily ingrained set of practices. We're actually cultivating skills to be happy that are not really rewarded in the brain's neurochemistry. So this is very much the spiritual practice of attaining lasting peace and happiness is very much rewiring the brain. It's developing skills that we're not naturally generally born with. So it takes effort. It's not something that you just go, okay, I'm going to forgive. It's a bad idea to be angry, so I'll just forgive. It doesn't work that way. So before I go into the strategies or the hows to how to forgive, a couple of notes I want to go through. Number one, we're doing this for ourselves. All the Buddhist teachings are not to appease some god. Buddhism is not a theistic religion. Buddhism really doesn't have any real opinion on whether or not you believe in a god. If you want to believe in a god, that's fine. The Buddha's underlying teaching is that we are the ones who have to end our stress and suffering. Whether or not there's a God is of no real great import to ending our own stress and suffering. Why? Because we are the ones who cause our stress and suffering. Therefore, we are the ones who have to end it. Well, that's good in a sense because that means we have control. If we are the ones who are causing ourselves all this stress and suffering by our intentions, our expectations, the thoughts that we hold onto and repeat in our minds, then we also have the opportunity of ending our stress and suffering and achieving lasting peace. So it's good news. It's not scary that it's our responsibility. It's good news. We don't have to rely on how many friends we have on Facebook. We don't have to. It's not a matter of having the perfect news posting on your Twitter. It's not a matter of appeasing the right cool group of people. You don't have to have tattoos, although it helps. No, it doesn't help at all. So the idea is that we're doing this to find lasting inner peace. And the good news is once we begin to let go of these stories of resentments, all these times we've been mistreated, the people that we're disappointed with, we can go down into the deeper, older feelings of abandonment and resentments and hurts that we haven't often dealt with. For example, you might often meet someone who's been in a relationship for a few weeks and the relationship doesn't work out and they're absolutely distraught and you feel, well, this is a little bit out of the ordinary. I mean, really, I mean, you know, he went out with her for 2 weeks. Why is he now forswearing all relationships and walking around bemoaning the effect of all women in his life? And it's because we generally have these old feelings of abandonment, rejection, hurt that we've buried. And when we have something that reminds us of all this buried feelings of being mistreated, we latch onto the present story and repeat it over and over in our heads, trying to figure out a way to deal with this present story so partially that we don't have to go to the older feelings of hurt, which we've repressed and haven't looked at. So it's very much a psychological opening. If we can let go of the present stories that we're repeating in our heads, we can go to the deeper, older hurts and begin to address them. Now, I can already tell that some of you are thinking, well, this sounds a lot like repressing anger. Not so. All we're talking about is letting go, learning how to let go of the stories, the thoughts that we repeat. But there's also a part of the anger and resentment which we're very much focused on experiencing, which are the underlying feelings. Every time we're hurt, we're resentful, we feel mistreated, abandoned, where we've been rejected in a relationship, where someone has mistreated us, there's not only that story of how could this person be so mean, how could this person treat me this way, you know, what did I do to deserve this, but there's also this underlying physical stress. Some of us hold it in our, I hold mine in my stomach. Sometimes my shoulders get tight, the throat gets choked off. There's all these physical underlying sensations of stress. And generally, rather than experiencing this somatic, physical suffering that's going on below the story, we prefer to simply repeat the thoughts, the narrative in our head over and over again. I was totally blameless, and this asshole completely at work, mistreated me, blah, 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 blah. Now, I have nothing against repeating that story a first time. You're going to do it anyway, so you might as well get it over with. But there comes a time when you've gone through convincing yourself that you've been unfairly treated, and it's just obsession, where you're just repeating the story over and over again, and you're not really adding anything new to that top tune in your head. It's just the same old song. I was blameless, they're an asshole. Over and over and over again. So the time comes when you're tired of hearing this song in your head and you don't want to cause yourself this suffering, which it's doing, because while you're singing that song in your head, you're not noticing the underlying stress, the cortisol that you're releasing in your brain, the physical tension, the lack of white blood cells that you're producing while you're causing all the suffering. There comes a time to put down the story. It's a very addictive story. It's a story that we've come to be very, very, as I said, it seems as if our entire evolutionary survival is dependent upon keeping track of those who screwed us. So it's not that easy to put down that story, but put it down we must if we want to move through and to forgive. Part of the practice is going to be to feel the feelings, to let go of the thoughts. The feelings are real. The feelings, once you feel the sense of abandonment, the sense of being mistreated, the sense of being rejected, it will pass. The feelings pass. The stories can go on forever. I've told this story before, but I was in family therapy with my dad, and my dad was in his 80s shortly before he died. And my dad said something very unskillful to me, and the therapist said to him, "Well, how could you say that to your son?" And my dad said, "Well, my mother was a bitch." Now, my grandmother was actually a horrible woman, but she was the kind of, like, she was a Cossack, basically, a Russian Cossack, but I'm not going to beware you with stories about my grandmother. The point is that the therapist said to my dad, "You're 84 years old. How long are you going to live in 'my mother was a bitch'? Isn't there a time over the course of 84 years where you want to drop the story and, like, forgive and move on?" My dad paused and said, "You know, I think you're right. It's about time I let go. I let go of that one." So there comes a time to let go of these stories, feel the feelings. Now, very important, if you're in a relationship that's abusive in any way, shape, or form, do not first forgive. Get the hell out, right? None of this is about, "Oh, I'm in an abusive, verbally, physically abusive relationship. I'm going to forgive." No, that's not what this practice is about. If you are in a relationship or somebody in your life is causing stress and suffering, first get to a safe remove before you practice. And also give yourself time to feel the feelings, go through the stories, get to that place where you can begin to see that repeating the stories are causing you the stress and the suffering. You've moved away before you put these practices into effect. Now, very important. Okay, you're safe, you're away from the relationship if it's really abusive. It's important to realize that forgiveness is not condoning. Forgiveness simply means you no longer are repeating the story in your head. It doesn't mean that if they've done something illegal or harmful or wrong or morally unforgivable, it doesn't mean they're off the hook. If somebody has stolen money from you, forgiving them doesn't mean they don't owe it to you anymore. If somebody has done something illegal, it doesn't get them off the hook. The only thing that forgiveness implies is that you are going to stop causing yourself suffering over this event. And after all, why would you want to continue hurting yourself after you've been mistreated, right? So it's not about condoning an action. It's about letting it go. It's about letting go, repeating the story. They still are culpable, and they are still on the hook. Which brings me up to the next part, which is they have to pay the price karmically for every action. Just because you're forgiven them doesn't mean that they won't have to reap the consequences in their own minds. If they've acted unskillfully, they have to live in a mind that is the author of unskillful, harmful actions. Forgiving them in no way makes their life any easier or better. You are not that powerful. I hate to break it to you. Forgiving them will in no way jump from your brain into their brain. If anybody in this room could do it, I would be able to do it. And I haven't yet been able to do it. So it can't be done. The simple reason that we're doing this is to release our own stress and suffering. It doesn't get them off the hook. It doesn't mean they don't pay the karmic price for it. It simply means that you have decided that you are not going to suffer anymore as a result of these actions. You are going to let yourself off the hook. You're going to move on. Finally, all spiritual practice is one of long-term stages and phases. Nothing happens immediately. If you sit down and decide to forgive your ex-girlfriend or boyfriend, and we're going to do a meditation where I'm going to show you how to do that in a little while, but if at the end of the meditation you expect to have totally forgiven them, guess what? You won't. It's not something that just goes away like this. All of anything that's spiritually worthwhile is a practice. It's something that's slow. For example, if you had a friend who was in bad shape and they announced to you that they were going to go to the gym, and you said, that's great, you're going to the gym, you're going to work out. And then they came back an hour later and they say, well, it didn't work. I mean, look, I'm just as flabby as I was. There's nothing going. The muscles haven't appeared. That was a total waste of time. You would think, oh, my God, what kind of person am I dealing with here? No, you have to work out for months and months and months. And if you're lucky, you'll see like the beginnings of some, you know, musculature and all that, right? It's the same thing with your mind. You've been treating your mind to hold on to resentments, to latch on to be the times we've been mistreated, to think that simply once or twice or even in the course of a week that you're going to let go of long-term resentments is just not going to happen. It's something that takes practice. So you have to develop patience. But believe me, it does work. I can tell you horror stories of what I experienced in my own childhood with a drunk father, and we ended up in life very, very close. But it was not something that took months or even a year. It took years of practice to get to a place where I could be comfortably in a room with him and hang out with him without personally wanting to kill him. No, I didn't want to kill him, but there was anger, believe me. So it can be done. It can be done, but it takes time. You're going to have to be patient, realistically patient. So have that spirit of it's a worthwhile endeavor, because resentment and anger is one of the most harmful, most obsessive mental conditions. It causes addictions. It causes underlying stress, it causes health problems, it just causes insanity, pure and simple. And there's nothing more worthwhile, the Buddha said, of any one trait. If we wanted to fully get our spiritual life started, the Buddha said the one trait would be to work on forgiving and letting go of anger. So this is very worthwhile, but it's one that requires patience. Finally, before I go into these techniques, the last note is that do not start with the hardest person in your life. Do not go to your ex-wife, ex-husband, your grandmother, or whoever it was that caused the greatest amount of harm in your life. Do not go to ground zero of your anger. It's not going to be a good idea. You'll just get frustrated. Start with the person who blocked the entrance to the subway today. Start with the person who took a long time in front of you while you were paying, you know, waiting to pay at the cash register, who couldn't, you know, whatever, find their credit card. Start with somebody who is very mild and will be easy to forgive. You want to start with the easy stories before you go all the way back to the origins of all your stress and suffering, the people who installed your fear buttons. Okay, so now to the actual strategies of letting go of resentments. The first is to indeed, as I said, reflect on the fact that anyone who has acted unskillfully to you, the Buddha said, just simply reflect on the karma, which is they get to eat the results of their actions. You don't have to do anything. The mind of somebody who acts unskillfully is not a good place to be. If you need any proof of that, remember the times when you've acted like a shit, whatever, in your life. Reflect on those times and ask yourself, well, did I feel really good about it afterwards? Chances are, unless you're a sociopath, no, you didn't feel very good. You felt, in fact, a sense of low self-esteem, a sense of shame, a sense of physical discomfort. And you began to, so that you didn't have to think about those times where you caused suffering, you begin to cordon off and wall off parts of your memories so that you don't have to think about them. So in other words, you create whole parts of your life which you don't even want to look at. So if we reflect on this fact that people who cause suffering wind up living in tight, little, uncomfortable minds, and that we don't have to do anything. We don't need to add any more stress and suffering to their lives. That makes it easier. Reflect on, too, that the cause of all unskillful actions is suffering. Nobody has ever purposely harmed or injured somebody because they were feeling happy, good, relaxed, and comfortable. Oh, good, I woke up today, I felt great, and then I decided to treat my friend like a shit. You know, I yelled at them, I skipped out on something I was supposed to do because I was feeling so good today and relaxed. It's not the way it works. People get fearful. Oh, no, people are asking too much of me. They want too much of me. I'm stressed out. That's why I'm going to not show up for this person, and I'm going to not show up for them when they turn up for me. That's why I'm going to act unskillfully. It's because they're suffering. So if you reflect on that the causes of unskillfulness are suffering, and the results of unskillfulness are more suffering. So we don't need to add. Why would we want to add any more suffering to that mix? It's just going to keep the cycle of suffering going. As you see with the story of child abuse and spousal abuse and all that, suffering and bad, unskillful actions just keep going down the chain. They keep reproducing themselves. So there's no point to add any more stress and suffering, A, by repeating the story in our head, or B, planning how we'll get revenge or take it out on them, or what we'll say to them, or what juicy gossip we'll tell about them to get even. None of this will ever be the answer. Let me see, before the last meditation. And finally, yes, before we get to the forgiveness meditation, also reflect, the Buddha said, on the merits of forgiveness. Just how skillful and how unusual a practice it is to forgive. How developed it is to be able to let go of stories. How truly wise it makes you to be able to let go of someone's unskillful actions. How rare it is in this world. If you can, for example, the Buddha once taught that if you refrain from killing, no matter what you're offered. If I offered you $1 million to kill someone and you said, no, I won't do it, then you have something worth $1 million, right? If you're capable of forgiving, you have something that's extremely rare, something that so few people in this world are capable of developing. So it's very worthwhile to develop this practice. So, now I move on to the best part, which I'm going to very briefly teach you the forgiveness meditation. So find a comfortable seated position. Closing the eyes. Now the forgiveness meditation has three parts. We forgive ourselves first for any unskillful actions we've done to others. We forgive ourselves for any unskillfulness we've done to ourselves. And then we forgive the unskillful actions of others. So once again, we're going to start when we get to the third part of forgiving someone else. We're not going to go to the most unforgivable person in our life. Don't go to your father or your mother or your ex-husband or wife. Start with something easy. So when your eyes are closed, take a deep breath in and out. And then reminding ourselves that our practice is to achieve lasting inner peace. So we start out simply by repeating the thought in our heads, may I be truly peaceful, free of stress and suffering. May all beings be free of stress, suffering, and fear, and find true inner peace. So bring to mind any time or times in our lives where we've acted unskillfully due to our fear, our confusion, through greed or through anger, any time where we've mistreated someone. It doesn't have to be the worst thing we've ever done. Start out just with something that where you felt slightly uncomfortable with, a time where we could have acted more skillfully, perhaps a time when we've gossiped or a time when we've spoken harshly out of stress or frustration, a time when we could have been responsive to someone's needs but didn't. Anything that comes to mind. A time through our thoughts, our words, or our actions where we've intended to cause harm or actually did cause any hurt. And just acknowledging that these are actions that we wouldn't repeat. And then knowing that this is an action that I wouldn't repeat again, may I be forgiven. May I be forgiven for this action. Telling yourself the story over and over and over in your head again, holding it against yourself, will not make you avoid that action. Just simply knowing that that action causes stress and suffering is enough. You don't need to beat yourself up. So may I be forgiven. Then bring to mind any time where you've caused yourself harm, intentionally or otherwise, through your own confusion, fear, anger, craving, addictions, any time we've caused ourselves harm through our thoughts, by beating up on ourselves, thinking horrible thoughts about ourselves, or speaking harshly about ourselves, harming ourselves physically, not treating ourselves well. And again, knowing that this harm came about through stress and suffering, forgiving ourselves. It's through forgiveness that we can begin to let go of that stress which caused so much self-sabotaging. May I forgive myself. Knowing that we wouldn't repeat those actions again. May I forgive myself. And finally, bringing to mind a time when someone who was stressed, suffering, or going through events in their life we have no idea about, but a time when somebody mistreated us, failed to take our feelings into consideration, a time when someone could have acted in a more skillful way towards me through their fear or their confusion or their anger or their delusion or their ignorance, that they caused me suffering. Knowing that they have to live in the results and they have to work to forgive themselves and acknowledge their own culpability. But deciding that we no longer need to cause ourselves any more pain or obsession over this. Just as we've asked forgiveness from others and forgiven ourselves, I forgive you. I forgive you. Just take a moment to see how this practice feels. In my experience, any letting go of resentment results in feeling much lighter, more comfortable in our own skin. So that's tonight's talk on forgiveness. It will be posted on the web. And now it's your turn to ask any questions you have about tonight. And I thank you for listening, by the way. Hi.